Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday, a Falcons Monday, brought to you by Comcast. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi, and a busy, busy weekend, a lot to get to. Obviously, the Falcons not starting things off the way that we hoped they would, but first and foremost, good morning to you, Randy. How was your weekend?
Hey, man, what's happening, man? Oh, it was good, brother. I had sports overload. We were talking about it in our pre-show meeting, man. It was so much going on this weekend, and I enjoyed all of it. I went outside a couple times, but more than likely I was in the house downstairs just watching all the sports that we were clamoring for three or four months ago. Like, oh, and now, I mean, between the Falcons and then college football and United and the Braves, I mean, and then – hell, we forgot it was a damn basketball game yesterday. I mean, it was just so much going on, you know, as far as sports-wise, and I enjoyed every minute of it, man. I really enjoyed the opening weekend of NFL football. Surprise one thing, though. The rust that I thought was going to be there, it wasn't there a lot. I mean, there were some things that were not in sync and everything, but I think for most part, sitting there watching all those games yesterday, man, them guys, they didn't look like they, you know, didn't have preseason and all those things. But, yeah, like you said, it didn't go the way we – hoped that would have went yesterday in the bins.
Yeah, it didn't. And I'm with you. I was generally happy with what we saw across the board in the NFL. The play wasn't as sloppy as we thought it was going to be. There's some missed tackles.
That's about it.
There's always missed tackles in week one of the NFL season. I mean, there's some stuff that was glaring, but still, yeah, by and large, it was a pretty impressive opening weekend across the board, and I'm with you. I went outside yesterday afternoon after the football game because we were going to grill last night, and I was like, what does it even feel like outside? And, you know, got up in the morning, watch all the fantasy shows, watch Brian and Bo do their Two Dudes Same Fantasy Facebook live stream yesterday morning before the game. Very good if you didn't get a chance to check that out. And then obviously watch the football game and all that, watch all the football games, and we're going to spend the majority of the time today talking to you and with you, both on social media and on the phone lines in the 11 o'clock hour and in the 1 o'clock hour, about what the Falcons did yesterday, and probably more specifically about what the Falcons didn't do yesterday. Because obviously, if you lose a game, and if you lose a game the way the Falcons did, you give up 38 points, and you make a variety of different mistakes, and you allow a team in Seattle, a very good team in Seattle, mind you, to come in here and look as good as they did. It's going to be really frustrating. I also think it's going to be really frustrating when you see a lot of similarities between what this football team has looked like before. Now, there were certain things to me that stood out as better as well, and we'll get to those as the show goes on. But the headline for me coming out of this game was execution. It boils down to if you're going to be gutsy, if you're going to take chances, if you're going to try to put the pedal to the floor and all gas, no brakes like Dan Quinn wants to do, you got to execute the plays. Seattle did. Seattle took chances and it worked. The Falcons took chances and they didn't. And, you know, in the end, 38-25 may be closer than it really was, but it was a much closer football game than it felt like at times in the second half because of certain chances that went one way for one team and chances that execution-wise didn't go the other way for the other team. The problem is that's not new. That's not new with Dan Quinn coach football teams. And there was a lot of yesterday that looked the same to me.
Yeah, I mean, of course it did, because they lost. You know, they lost an opener. And, you know, the mistakes that were made, I sit back and just thinking about, why, you know, after watching that game and everything, it was, I mean, it was everybody. I put it on everybody. I put it on the coordinators for not adjusting, and we'll get to that, because there's no way that one of the best players in football is unaccounted for as much as she was. And then you look at the player-wise, just technique. I mean, Oliver, he looked good when he got his hands on him, and he looked like trash when he didn't. And for the most part, on those big plays, he didn't get his hands on people. So, I mean, it goes back and forth. I think the improvement that we saw, I think the defensive line was bringing it. I thought they played well. I thought that Grady, I thought Tack was playing hard. Dante Fowler is just an animal when you talk about the overall game he played yesterday against the run, rushing the passer, all these things that we were looking for. Deion Jones looked good. I got lost in coverage sometimes. Same with Keanu Neal. That pass interference, it could have let it go, but, you know, it is what it is. But I think overall, the execution and not being able to adjust on offense by saying, okay, when he's here, we're going to put somebody here, let's scan it, let's turn the protection something. That was my biggest issue offensively with the Falcons, was that right there. And when you look at the coaching aspect of it and going forward on fourth down, I mean, the execution of the play, it would have worked if the play was executed right. Not necessarily the call itself. We're talking about the players themselves executing the play. They would have worked, but they didn't execute the plays on fourth down. And that's what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest difference in the game happened on back-to-back drives. The Seahawks went for it on fourth and five, and DK Metcalf cooked Isaiah Oliver like a rotisserie chicken and scored a touchdown. And then on the next drive, the Falcons went for it on fourth down on a fake punt and didn't get it. Neither one of those were particularly, like, by the books, smart calls. Like, throwing a deep pass on fourth and five isn't exactly what the textbook tells you to do. Going for it on a fake punt in your own territory, down by only nine, you know what I mean, midway through the third quarter, isn't what the textbook tells you to do. But if you execute them, and the Seahawks did, and they scored a touchdown on it, and the Falcons didn't because Sherrod Neesman fumbles the football, It goes in a completely different direction. Like, the way that we interpret gambles, the way that we interpret calls like that, really does come down to whether or not it worked. Now, again, we could have a big picture conversation about whether it was wise to do either one of those things. Pete Carroll's got a win right now, and Dan Quinn doesn't, because his team executed and Dan Quinn's didn't.
Exactly. And you look at the fourth and five, I mean, Russ Wilson is a hell of a football player, man. And every year I look at him, he gets better and better. He was unbelievable yesterday. Unbelievable with the fact that how he escapes sacks and how he can elude the pressure by just giving a shoulder jerk and all that. You just saw the guys. They had so many almost sacks, which is typical, you know, here in Atlanta, almost. But, I mean, he was just spectacular. And I don't think anybody throws a deep ball like Russ. Russ just puts so much air on it and lets his guys run underneath it. And on fourth down, it's man on man. I mean, that is not coaching or anything. That's just Isaiah Oliver just getting, like you said, getting roasted. That's what that was right there. You look at the fake punt. Would I have done it? No. But if you execute it, then you're moving along. And then I know one thing, and this is just – from experience, when you get a play like that, it gives you juice. When you get that fake punt and all those things, you get turnovers, it gives you juice. And the one thing about Atlanta, they were never able to get juice. They were never able to get going. And when they got it going, typical, it's always late. Matt Ryan throws over 400 yards, but a lot of those are those typical Matt Ryan at the end of the game trying to come back, throwing the ball over the yard. I tell you what, if everybody played like that damn number 11, though, that man there, I swear, you can't say that man does not show up every Sunday. I thought Calvin really played well. I mean, I thought they ran the ball effective. Now, when you get down on the way that you were down, you can't run the ball anymore. I thought Todd was a little indecisive on some things. But, I mean, this team, it's just hit or miss, man. You just don't know what to expect from Sunday to Sunday. We want a pass rush. They got it. The O-line, I thought, played their best. I thought they were fine. I didn't think they were, you know, like I said, a couple technique things on fourth down. It wasn't necessarily being pushed back. They just weren't getting up to the next level, because a lot of those plays were made by Wags because nobody went and blocked them.
Yep.
You know, a lot of those plays were made by Jamal Adams because nobody went and blocked them. And so, I mean, these are things that were frustrated me was I think that was the most frustrating thing for me, watching that whole game yesterday, were the lack of adjustments by the Falcons, especially offensive. You're like, okay,
Yeah.
You put a body on
it. It shouldn't take 2.5 quarters to realize that Jamal Adams is just doing whatever he wants. Like, Jamal Adams is just roaming all over the field, and if he doesn't see someone pick him up, he's just going to come after the quarterback, or he's going to float into the backfield and try to pick up the little dump-off pass that you make. Like, it was pretty clear, I don't know, after two drives, oh, wow, Jamal Adams is just kind of roaming free. He's kind of he's been given free right now. He played great football. Not to take anything away from him. Jamal Adams is a phenomenal football player who played great. But it should not take you 50 minutes, or I guess not 50 minutes, but 40 minutes of actual football game time on the field to realize, oh, maybe we want to, oh, if he's over there, maybe we should go this way. Oh, okay, this is how they're using Jamal Adams. We're going to get a little bit more creative and try to protect against him, because Jamal Adams single-handedly ended four different Falcons drives. And that, again, if it happens early in the game, okay, we didn't know what they were going to do. It's the first game on the team, all that stuff. But you got to be able to make those adjustments in real time.
Exactly.
And it shouldn't take 2.5 quarters to figure it out. And that's on Dirk Cutter. It's on Dan Quinn and Dirk Cutter to not figure that out faster.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And that's the thing about adjustments, or adjustments can be made on the sideline. Okay, what you see, Matt? Well, he's up here, you know, and you saw a couple times when he come on certain pass plays where, you know, what's the confusion? Because usually when you're the single back, you usually have four usually the safety corner, wherever they are, you scan to them, and you just saw, it seemed like to me, and I'm not in the playbook and I don't know the calls or whatever. I'm just saying that's typical rule of thumb. The back has them, but when you're talking about them running those boots, Jamal was not threatened at all by Matt Ryan booting anything. Jamal was going straight for Matt Ryan, and in that case, because he probably had over the top help of somebody who, if they ran that flat route, there was somebody there. They had, and then when you talk about the run plays that he's coming to get, there's no threat of Matt Ryan booting, so he's going straight for Todd Gurley. And in those plays, you can have, and people are like, why don't you check out? Well, a lot of those plays, they're running plays. There's no boot. We're 3rd and 2. We're running to the left. He's all the way on the right. We're banking that we can get those 2 yards before he gets there. That's what usually happens when you see that safety or that backside guy making those plays. You're banking on the run getting there before he gets there, and it just didn't happen. I mean, Jamal, that was one of the best defensive efforts I've seen in a while, man. That guy was – he was unreal last night. And if you watched Jets play yesterday – because they were god awful. They were god awful.
Yeah, there was
yesterday.
A few teams that saw their former players yesterday. Yeah. If I'm Deshaun Watson and I watched any of that Arizona Cardinals game yesterday, damn. what did we do that for? Why did we trade that guy? Same thing with the Jets. Same thing.
Kyler Murray's fun, man.
Yeah, he is.
Kyler Murray's a fun little player.
He is fun. We got a lot of time to dig into the ins and outs of what the Falcons didn't do yesterday. Again, unfortunate. Week one loss, 38-25, probably wasn't as close as the score even said it was at the end of the game. A lot more to get into with the Falcons. We'll get to what's trending coming up next. Big weekend for the Braves, too. Georgia Tech with a nice win.
Man.
We'll recap all of it coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh, my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
Gurley still in now. They have brought in a fullback as well on 3rd and goal from inside the one. Give to Gurley. Dives over the pile. Is stood up, but is into the end zone anyway for the Falcons. Touchdown.
There you have it, courtesy of Mike Conti on 92.9 The Game yesterday, Falcons Radio Network. You may be wondering to yourself, well, why was Mike Conti's the Atlanta United play-by-play man? Well, Wes Durham had an inconclusive COVID test late last week, so he was unable to do the college games there. The college game he was supposed to do on Saturday in the ACC, and then also the Falcons game yesterday as well. So Mike Conti fills in, did a wonderful job, and I would imagine Wes Durham will be back next weekend, given that it was an inconclusive. It wasn't even a positive. So anyway, hopefully Wes is doing good, and hopefully everything gets back to normal next weekend. That was Todd Gurley scoring a touchdown early in the game. And Randy, you know, as far as yesterday goes and trying to take a big picture approach to it, when they used Todd Gurley, he looked pretty looked healthy. I think first and foremost, looked healthy, but he looked pretty effective. He looked like what you hope Todd Gurley would look like.
I thought he looked well. I thought he played well. I think it's going to take some getting used to some of the things that he's able to do. Like I said, it was a couple of plays where you're like, I know somebody mentioned to me the lucky tip, and I'm just thinking he's just trying to be patient through the hole and all those things. And, you know, the one thing about it is that, you know, the communication up front and the running back is very important. I thought a couple times it wasn't there. It's no Jamal Adams coming free that many times. But
yes,
at the same time, I thought, you know, they were able to keep it within that one possession score. You might have saw him get more carries. But because you got behind by so much, you had to throw the football. And, you know, but I overall, I thought Todd played fine. I thought offensively they were able to run the ball. I just think technique got them in trouble on a lot of those short runs as far as just taking the step too wide on the one play on the one short yardage. You know, when they're going with the heavy formation, they bring in Gano as the heavy tight end, and it's him. They have a quad block to the inside backer. Gano and Jake. Jake went too wide with his outside foot, and that allowed the running back, the linebacker, to shoot that gap right there. He was unable to recover. So I just think it was more technique and everything up front when you look at some of the negative plays. But a lot of it had to do with them not adjusting on the fly. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Todd Gurley, he was cool.
He was fine. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, oh, my God, Todd Gurley is, you know, he's going to win the MVP. We're not, like, over the moon about it. But it was good to see him get out there. The one thing that I don't know if it surprised me, but I definitely liked. They weren't afraid to use him. I mean, Todd Gurley touched the ball a ton on the first two drives. There was no – it didn't look like a pitch count early in the game. And then again, they went away from him in the second half, partially because they got behind, partially because, I guess Dirk Cutter didn't want to keep any balance in the offense. And that's something that I get it.
They
get
tried. Behind. You got to give them credit. They tried.
They tried until the fake punt. And then after that, then it was – and I know they were down 28-12 at that point. But, like, I just always feel like even still, if there's enough time left in the game, like, you still have to stay true to what your offense is a little bit, don't you? Like, you kind of want to keep a balance. You kind of want to keep an identity. Now, not to say it didn't work. Matt Ryan starts throwing the ball all over the yard, and they're picking up yards left and right, and they scored a couple touchdowns in the fourth quarter and all that. But – you know, you get down a lot like they did, and it just makes it really difficult to come back. And then the Seahawks can hand the ball off and use the clock a little bit more, and little dump off passes they were using, kind of like passes that were actually runs to keep the clock moving. And, you know, you go down that much. We saw this a ton of times last year with the Falcons. You go down by so many points, then the play clock or then the game clock is defending you. You know, the game's not long enough for you to come all the way back. And that happened yesterday. Don't need to go down by 20.
Ran out of time. Ran out of time. And then, you know, you get the touchdown, you get the stop, you're going back down, and then you just don't convert. Fourth down, Matt, you got to put the ball in there.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I didn't like the call at all. I just didn't like that call. You calling the fire pass, getting the fullback in the flat. You only give him a two-person read. I don't like that play at all in that case. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Maybe you should have tried to stick with it a little bit more. But you know, desperation. You're at a point where okay, we got to put this ball up because we got to get back in this game. And the one thing about it is when you're playing against a great quarterback like they were in Russell Wilson, it just seems like every time he gets the ball, he's going to score. They're going to do something every time he gets the ball. And that's basically what they did, man. I mean, the dude is so damn good, man. God, he's a damn fabulous quarterback.
That's another part of it that, again, like, I don't – you know, it's easier to yell about, you know, Dan Quinn coaching, firing everyone and all that stuff. Like, they also played against a quarterback that might win the MVP. They played against a quarterback who's one of the best
this year.
He's one of the best at that position. And, I mean, they brought pressure. They hit him a bunch of times early, and even when they weren't hitting him in the second half, they were moving him around. Now, the secondary could play better. There's no question about that.
Oh, yeah.
There was some loose coverage in the secondary all game long. I don't remember. We talked about this last week, and I was wrong. Russell Wilson's going to give you a chance or two to make an interception because he's going to make a gamble. He didn't have to make any gambles yesterday.
No.
Every pass he made, it looked like his receiver was, I mean, at least relatively open. Now, some of them, they were very, very open. But, you know, there wasn't a lot of tight windows that Russell Wilson was throwing the football into yesterday. And when you do that, you're not going to come up with any interceptions.
They didn't make it hard on him. That's the thing about it. Russ was playing free. You know, there was never any really, even when he was getting sacked, I mean, it just was no panic in Russ. Russ was just back there doing his thing. They did a great job of when they did go max, because most of the time when they went max, they go the max protection, they go the two-man routes. Hell, they executed every damn time on it. Mm-hmm. You got two guys running routes, and you got four guys back there. They just kept executing. And when they got down in the red zone, what'd they do? They scored touchdowns. And so you're not going to win a lot of games. When they're scoring touchdowns, you kicking field goal. I thought Younghoe Koo, I thought he was fine yesterday. Can't miss the extra point, but, you know, it was a penalty. But I thought he was fine. You know, there's still stuff to work on. But these things right here are schematic things that can be worked on. Like we said, they're going to go in today, you're going to get your corrections and all those things. But as far as the corners, you just got to play better technique. I mean, Eric, every corner's been caught on the sluggle route. A.J. Terrell, you have nothing to be ashamed of. All corners get caught on the sluggle route, especially early in the career. You're going to jump that slant every time because of the fact that what DK Metcalf usually runs. He runs a lot of slants. That's in the scouting report. So you jump it. Mm-hmm. But you got caught with your pants down. Happens to all the corners on a sluggle route. I mean, that's just what it is.
It was a smart game plan by Seattle. We talked a bit about it last week of we know they want to establish the run, but don't be surprised if they let Russell Wilson throw the ball a little more than normal because of what the Falcons secondary is. There's young guys back there. And not only that, it's just a secondary that hasn't played games together before.
Yeah.
It's together the last couple of practice. Years.
I said that. It's one thing to be in practice getting it done. But it's another thing when you're going against another player that you have not seen. It's a big difference, man. And you got to grow up on the job quick with this young secondary.
A big turning point in the game was the Falcons deciding to go for a fake punt midway through the third quarter. Dan Quinn talked about that after the game.
There could be a time where you call, you know, fake punts, but the look isn't right, you know, for you, and you kick it away. And so in this game, that was the one that we had, that the look we were looking for. And so not executing that one and obviously turn the ball over, that was a big part.
Yeah, I mean, it was a disaster, unfortunately. I mean, they got the look they looked for. They executed it almost correctly because it would have been a first down if Sherrod Neesman could have held onto the ball. And then he didn't. And that was right after Seahawks scored a touchdown on 4th and 5 where DK Metcalf cooks Isaiah Oliver. They get a short field, they score again, and it sort of spiraled from there. But it was the right look. It's still kind of surprising to me to make that call there in that moment. But if it would have worked, people would react differently to it. Maybe you go on a long drive and score a touchdown. But that's the bottom line for the Falcons is execution. We've had this conversation a thousand times over the last three seasons.
The thing about look on a fake punt is if there's there, you run it. So if the look wasn't there, they would have called it off. I mean, we're not having this conversation about it if Rashad Neesman about it. It ain't Dan Quinn's fault. Now, I don't agree with the call, just like you, but at the same time, the execution, you got the look you wanted, you ran the play, he got to hang on to the damn football.
Right.
That's point blank. You got to hang on to the damn football. That's what I say. This is a total team loss because the players didn't execute and the coaches didn't adjust well. I mean, that's what I saw. Now, people probably saw different things, but that's what I saw. I saw the execution of plays were not there, and when they were there, something was just off. Like the one deep pass to Julio. Julio's out there. A guy's right in Matt Ryan's face. He can't all the way extend. So Julio has the way to the ball. That's a touchdown right there.
Right.
It's a longer developing play because it's an inside dig and go. And Julio's, I mean, he runs the route. Perfect route by Julio Jones. Does everything right. But then there's some pressure in Matt's face. So Matt can't get the ball out there. That's the thing with the Falcons last few is they'll execute it, but it could have been a bigger play than it was because of something else. Something went wrong completely off rails. And it throws off the play. That's exactly what happened on that play to Julio.
The big plays could have been bigger. The plays that don't quite happen don't happen in big moments. And the plays that end up not working out like that fake punt turn into disasters. And to me, that's what happens when you have a slim margin for error. The Falcons have a very slim margin for error. They just do. And you're going to, especially against talented teams like Seattle, that have a quarterback like Russell Wilson, and they've got a player like Jamal Adams on defense that's playing the way that he played. You have to be even more correct in the gambles that you make, or in the chances that you take. I don't know if you want to call them gambles, but there's going to be moments in games where you have to make a gutsy call. And the Falcons made, what, 4 of them yesterday? You go for it on 4th down 4 different times. And not a one of them went your way. And that's execution. That's whatever, I guess, getting beat by the guy on the other side of the ball. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. But it's the same old story. That's the problem. That's where I think a lot of the frustration comes from Falcons fans today, is everyone who's saying it's just one game. Well, it's just one game. They're 0-1. There's 15 left. That is true. It is just one game. But the issues that you saw, the lack of execution in those moments and those gambles not paying off and those big plays not quite being as big and the mistakes being magnified, that's not new. that's not new for Dan Quinn and the Falcons. That's the same thing. That's the same script, and that's frustrating. Kyle Wright got his first win yesterday as well.
Good for him.
But
good for the Wanks.
Unfortunately, we didn't have time. Yeah, good Kyle Wright finally got a win after like 15 starts in Major League Baseball, which is awesome. Hopefully he could keep it up. Ian Anderson was really good on Saturday. They take 3 out of 4 against the Nationals. They're in first place. I mean, they just keep they keep chugging along, man. You keep throwing curveballs at them with their pitching rotation, and the Braves keep winning. Georgia Tech with an excellent win over the weekend
great
as well.
Win. Great
we'll
win.
Get further into that as
they
the show goes on.
They got something special, man. That damn Jeff. That Jeff Sims, man.
Jeff Sims good.
I like him.
Jeff Sims
I
good.
I like
him
cat.
A lot. It's a Falcons Monday brought to you by Comcast. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi. We'll come back. We'll get to big deal, small deal, no deal. We'll get to a lot of the other big stuff that happened over the weekend. Thanks for being with us here on a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here we go.
He jams.
They score! And it is good.
Our Atlanta Hawks, United, and Falcons play here because the game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Falcons Monday brought to you by Comcast. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle, and Randy will do our best to try to get to all the other big news from opening weekend in the NFL coming up in about 20 minutes. Because, yes, look, we talked about it before the show. Yesterday, just from an NFL standpoint, was crazy. Like, trying to get back acclimated to keeping up with everything that's going on. You mix in the Braves. You mix in an NBA playoff game that they somehow snuck by us. Like, it was a lot going on yesterday. So we'll do our best to get back and recap everything that happened in the NFL. But aside from the Falcons not doing what we wanted them to do, what a fun opening weekend it was to have football back. So many cool stories popping out. Like, it was a great week one in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, I had a lot of fun sitting and just watching ball all day. And like you said, there was so much going on yesterday. Man, this is weekend, just sports overload, you know. And Liverpool, they played too. And, I mean, it was great. The tennis was awesome, you know. I mean, everything was just – it was just great to just sit back and just enjoy it. I mean, I wish I could have enjoyed more of the outside. But, you know, it was cool sitting inside, just sitting back watching sports. Yesterday was fun. I thought it was some good games. A lot of surprising games. Damn Jacksonville. I hope we do get to a lot of these because that was just funny to me. That I was like, really? Damn Jacksonville. I guess they ain't bad. Because there's no way in hell that you're going to tell me there's no worse team in the National Football League than the damn Jets. They are awful.
Yeah, they're awful.
That's awful. How they are. God awful.
I was getting the underboss. Me too. The underboss, Sean Thompson, a lifelong diehard Jets fan. A couple very, like, emotional texts yesterday during the Falcons-Seahawks games about Jamal Adams. Just, like, very – and I get it. You know, it's got to be hard to watch your team do what they did and then watch that guy on another team, you know, doing exactly what you know that he can do. But, yeah, it was a week in the NFL season, so not a good week for the Jets or their fans. But, damn. I do want to mention just again – I know we threw it into the end of what's trending there – the Braves are ridiculous, man. They won 3 out of 4. Again, even the one they lost on Friday night, they damn near came back and won it with a late rally. They left a bunch of guys on base. They could have won that game.
Literally,
base on Friday night. And then Ian Anderson looked good again, so he's looked really sharp, 3 out of 4 starts. Kyle Wright got his first win yesterday. And I know the starting rotation is obviously still a big issue. I'm not saying anything that happened over the weekend, like, is fixing the way that I feel about the starting rotation. But maybe Ian Anderson can be an answer in one of those spots. And Max Fried gets healthy, and we're going to see Cole Hamels this week. At some point this week, we're going to see Cole Hamels. I know Brian Gebhardt's fired up about that.
Woo!
So it's maybe not as bad of a situation with the starting rotation as it was last week. Coming from where they were coming from, anything would have been an improvement. All right, we'll get to an NFL no huddle coming up in 15 minutes. Speaking of Brian, let's get to big deal, small deal, no deal.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, the only Tennessee high malt whiskey. I'll say this is a big deal. We got that Chattanooga Whiskey bottle opened over the weekend, and it is gone. It is all gone. My brothers can. They're good for a lot. But one of the things they're good for is they'll make the liquor evaporate and very quickly. They did that to the Chattanooga whiskey on Friday night.
I need to know this because they be drinking up all your liquor. Do they contribute to buying any of the liquor?
No, none.
Hell no. Yeah. Oh hell no. I ain't let no grown folks just live in my house and drink my liquor for free and don't bring nothing back.
Yeah, it's one thing. It's a weird dynamic of little brothers. Like, you're grown in some ways, and then in other ways, it's like, all right, I'm just gonna lay around on your couch all day and eat your food.
I got a grown little sister. You know what? Whenever she come down, whenever she drive down for Charlotte, you know what she does? She brings some with her.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that about your sister. However it was that you communicated that to her, let me know, because I would like to tell that to my brothers. Now, they've done a much better job than last time, and we laid the ground rules at first. It was like, all right, this bottle, this bottle, this bottle, this bottle. They were all gifts. They're very expensive. There's a couple things over here that we could share. And Friday, look, it was Friday. We were hanging out. We were partying. So it was Chattanooga whiskey time. There was nothing wrong with that. They've actually done a better job this time than they did when they were here for Christmas, because when they were here for Christmas, I don't know how they did what they did. I mean, it's almost impossible to believe how much alcohol was consumed. Anyway, hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Great.
Awesome. Big deal, small deal, no deal. Going to go off the board here a little bit. Former UGA quarterback Aaron Murray, who attended Georgia's scrimmage over the weekend, saying that Carson Beck, not JT Daniels or Dwayne Mathis, looked like the best quarterback to him.
I think it's a small deal. And the reason I'm going to say a small deal is not taking anything away from Aaron, because Aaron knows quarterback plays way better than I do. But I just think it's to each his own, in which you see. You know, Red, so, and I can't wait to have Roddy on this weekend so we can talk about it. Red, that, you know, that Dwayne Mathis got most of the first team reps, but JT Daniels got most of the first team situational type things with the first team. So I don't know. And then, you know, you look at Carson Beck, who is he going against? Is he going against the twos or the ones or the threes? So, I mean, I think it's a small deal, because I just think I need to see for myself. Who? Because anybody can have a good day. How has he been overall?
I agree with you. It's a small deal until we see who's the starter in a couple weekends. And then whoever starts, and if they play well, then that's a big deal. Because I'll tell you what was a big deal. The guy who started for Georgia Tech on Saturday, we didn't know who was going to be the starter in that football game. They didn't tell us, and we finally saw. And Jeff Sims, a true freshman, went in there and could have very easily been discouraged by what happened at the beginning of that game. They're down 10-0. Right. There's a long weather delay. He throws a couple bad interceptions on drives that could have been scoring drives. They got a couple field goals blocked. For them to have the fortitude to come back and win that game and do it the way that they did, that was such an impressive win on the road. Such an impressive win for Georgia Tech on Saturday.
That was a big win for that young man. I mean, when he came out, I mean, from the get-go, you just saw Jeff Sims. It's something special about this young man, the way he carries himself, how great an athlete he is, how tough he was on some of those, like, third and threes, and him just, you know, when the play breaks down, he's going to get those first downs. I thought, and everything looked different about Tech, even the uniforms. I was like, damn, I see a Tech?
Yeah.
You know, they just look better. They look like a better football team. And you know how I feel about Coach Collins. And I thought that was a great win for them to go down there and get that win in Tallahassee. Florida State's awful. They're just not
Florida
a –
Florida State's really
I don't know. It's just something about – something's missed. We know the quarterback. I think they're pretty much done with James Blackman. But at the same time, I mean, I will not take anything away from Tech. They went down there and got a big-time win. And it's a great way to start off your season, man. But, you know, it's going to be a great – as long as this young man right here keeps getting better. Because he got something special about him, Andy.
Yeah, Jeff Sims is fun, man. And he's a true freshman. So you got 3 years of that. There's a lot of – you're right, Randy. It just looked different. Tech just looked different. There's a lot of stats that illuminate how different it was. The one that I liked best – Jeff Sims had 15 completions in the first half. That's more completions in a game than any Tech quarterback had since 2008.
Damn.
Okay. Yeah. Things are different. Things are different over there. So, yeah, it was cool. Great for them. Great for them and to get that win, and hopefully they can keep it going.
A couple things here. Randy, you brought up a good point. Was he going against the ones, the twos, or the threes? Carson Beck, that is. He was going against the twos, so that's what makes it a small deal, is that he looks sharp against the backup defense. My next big deal, small deal, no deal, Yellow Jacket Bunker roping in Georgia Tech on a Georgia topic during this segment.
Oh, I mean, it's no deal. I mean, we need to give, you know, Tech their respect. I mean, they had a big win, man. I mean, I can't say nothing about them. I mean, everybody wants to talk. I would never pick Georgia Tech.
I mean, I didn't answer your question, Brian.
I hope somebody from Georgia Tech would pick Georgia. I mean, that's just the love-hate we have between each other. But it ain't nothing personal, because I never, ever picked Tech. And I found out a couple days ago, my five-year anniversary at 99 The Game was last week. I ain't never picked them before, so why would I pick them now? But, yeah, I'm not going to take credit away. Credit is due. Georgia Tech played well and won a big game.
I just didn't feel comfortable answering a question about a backup quarterback in a scrimmage before we talked about Georgia Tech winning an actual game. I'm sorry. Like, that was just how I felt about that.
My bad. That's very fair. That seems fair.
Big deal. I am call me. What did you call me? Yellow Jacket Bunker. That's fine with me.
Yeah, Yellow Jacket Bunky.
My team's not playing this year. I'm just happy that there is football going on. We'll come back. Speaking of football, get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Falcons lose, no doubt. We'll let you hear a little bit more from Dan Quinn. Very frustrating. We'll talk about all the other big stories from the league over the weekend as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.